The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Freud used to say the unconscious is like the ocean. Jung said, inside of each of us is a self we do not know. When you bring your story, Sarah Mare brings the psychology. You bring your problems, Sarah Mare brings the meditation. You bring introspection, Sarah Mare brings the questions. Welcome to Talk with Sarah Mare. Your life is the inspiration in these unique, entertaining conversations with psychoanalyst Sarah Mare talking about romance, aspirations, even the news, and how psychology and meditation can enrich living. When you bring your life, Sarah Mare brings the psychology. Now, here is Talk with Sarah Mare.
Hello, this is Sarah Mare, your host of Talk with Sarah Mare here on the Seventh Wave Network of VoiceAmerica.com. This hour is real people dedicated to sharing real stories, and I'm your host and psychoanalyst, Ms. Sarah Mare, live here from New York City. First, I just want to thank you all for being here. I know you could have been anywhere in the world right now, and you're choosing to be here with me, and I appreciate that. And I want to be here with you, so I'm really excited about today's program. We're going to be discussing how does meditation help you find that spontaneous space from which you create and manifest your inner voice into the world. I have here Dan Harlan, who's a proficient bassist, songwriter, improviser, and meditator, who's played live and recorded with over 14 bands. His first solo album, recorded under the name Esoteric Sound Formula, titled Adventures in Imagination, is mostly orchestral with a few pieces featuring his bass. We'll be playing a few of those songs for you throughout this hour. The album was first released in 2014 and received national airplay on Australia's ABC Classic FM. So I'd like to welcome Dan Harlan with us today. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Great, Sarah. How are you today?
Fabulous. Thank you so much. Where are you right now?
I'm just outside of Melbourne in Australia, which is down in the state of Victoria.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. I really feel honored that you'd want to include me in such a presentation.
Oh, you're absolutely aligned with the subject that we're discussing, and you're actually an inspiration for it. So I'm looking forward to hearing about your inner life and your music and improvisation and how meditation and improvisation work through you to create the beautiful music that you've played for me, and I'm so excited to play for the listeners today. I think you're having summertime over there in Australia, is that right?
That's right, yeah. We've had a few quite warm days, around, 36 degrees Celsius was about 2 days ago, so luckily today was only about 22 degrees Celsius, so it's not too bad.
So what do you do when you're boiling up over there?
Oh, pray that you had an air conditioner.
carry around a spray bottle and spray yourself down often.
Sometimes, a cold shower in the middle of the day is good. That sort of keeps you good for a while, and drink plenty of really cold water, and keep the curtains drawn, you know. Yeah, so it just doesn't get too overbearing.
Well, I understand from the email that you sent to me that you started playing the bass around 15 years old, and then a few months later you started meditating, and that's almost 27 years ago, and you're still dedicated to exploring music and meditation as your primary kind of way of being. Can you talk a little bit about what led you to first playing music and then interested you in meditation, and what keeps you there?
Well, the music interest has, I think it's been there, it's like one of the earliest things I remember. I think the first musical memories I've had was probably hearing Bob Marley getting played on the radio when I was 4 years old. We were, you know, across the road from a park, sitting in my dad's Chevy, and Bob Marley starts coming through the radio. And then I also have memories around that same time period of, would have been 1979, coming back from the hospital, one of the last times I saw my grandmother before she died. And I remember being conscious of this song, and I know what song it is now. It was Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. It was playing on the radio. And then I was lucky enough that my father and mother had really diverse music collections. So I got to hear, like, Johann Sebastian Bach, Beethoven, and then Linda Ronstadt, Deep Purple, even Black Sabbath. You know, Dad listened to a little bit of heavy metal sometimes when we were younger too. But we also listened to, like, classical, jazz, you name it, that was in our household. And I wanted to play keyboards to begin with, but when my parents divorced when I was about 7 years old, there wasn't a lot of money around, so I couldn't really afford to get a keyboard or piano lessons or anything like that. And then when I was around 12 years old, my mother bought me a banjo, and I was the worst banjo player in the world. And I never did do any well at it at all. And then when I was 15, I think my older brother, being a drummer, said he needed a bass player. And I thought, great, I could play in the band with the older guys. I'll be a bass player. So I traded in the banjo for the bass and didn't get the gig with my older brother. Yeah, 9 months later, my older brother was in another band, and I played my very first gig with my older brother when I was 15 years old, and that was in a nightclub. So my parents chaperoned us that night, of course, because we were all underage. But, yeah, so started gigging early too. And the interest in meditation, it was quite strange how it happened. Like, I'd always been spiritually aware since I was a little kid, very sensitive to the idea that there was a life after of the death of the physical body. I was always accepting of that and quite sensitive to emotion and feeling and vibration and music and so on. So becoming conscious was just the next step. So getting into meditation was like an introduction from a family friend. Yeah.
Do you find that, and did you find even at the young age of 15, that when you played the bass, especially the bass, because it's just against your body and it's such a deep, deep resonant sound, that the experience of the vibration of the sound was similar to the feeling of meditation for you when you talk about kind of being in touch with a life force beyond you? Was there some connection between the vibration?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. I mean, I love all musical instruments, but it just, I don't know, I just couldn't stop playing the bass. Like, I didn't have an amp that worked at one stage for about 2 years, so I used to just play with the bass, like you said, against my body, and I could feel the vibration of those lower octaves because it's an octave lower than the guitar, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was a connection there, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it was it was like the physical vibration, but it was just the whole thing. I just thought I could be good at this. So I practiced every day for 8 hours as soon as I get home from school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 11 o'clock at night, you know, so did that for about 3 years, my last 3 years of high school.
That's interesting because one of the things that, that I think about and I have heard a lot about from my patients as an analyst is that children, you know, you mentioned that your parents were divorced at a young age and that children who've gone through some kind of grieving or something that makes them look at life through a different lens than just the curious eyes of a child and the innocence of a child, they develop a very rich creative life because they're trying to sort of work out these more complicated feelings. And often, you know, are left with a sense of, I don't want to say that you necessarily felt this, but a sense of sort of being neglected or sort of needing to become an adult at a younger age, and somehow that inspires the creative drive. I mean, you said that you used to practice for, you know, 8 hours after school every day while most children would be out playing. Was there some part of you that relates to that wanting to walk off into a dream world or an imaginative space through your creativity?
I think so, in some aspects for sure. I think, like, when I was a kid, I remember, like, way before I became a musician, you know, when my parents were still together, I looked at them and they were two perfect people. They were like a god and a goddess to me, right? Yeah. So I had no perception of anything else other than how perfect they were, and the love in the house was incredible, you know? And yeah. When that ended,
yeah,
it breaks your heart, you know?
Yeah.
Because you go, oh my God, my two, the god and the goddess are separating. What's going on here? The perfect world is now imperfect. And yeah. It shattered my heart when I was a child, yeah. You know? Yeah. So I suffered. I found out what suffering was at the age of 7 years old.
Yeah. You know?
I thought that, okay, wait, there's trouble in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and thinking about it now, it probably did make me start to analyze things at a very early age. So by the time I became a serious bass player, you know, when I realized I can't stop playing this thing, this is great, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I put all my energy into it because I knew I had to live for something because yeah. of the imperfection of what I had experienced. I lived for my parents when I was a child, but that didn't work.
Yeah.
So I had to try and find a solution to that, find something that I could believe in again. And that was mm-hmm. music.
And music did that for you. So as at that age when you were, you know, just practicing for so many hours every day and finding, like you said, a raison d'être, sort of a hope and something to sort of live for, what do you remember kind of images you used to see in your mind as you were creating and as you were listening to the vibration of the sound? Do you remember there were specific images that used to drive the creation or colors or a certain space in nature?
It was maybe, I don't know, something like, well, I'd listened to a lot of classical music at that stage too.
Mm.
You know, I'd sort of listened to Beethoven and Bach and Brahms, and you know, I liked Indian classical music too, but I hadn't heard much of it. But I'd liked the sitar, and I think that's why I liked the banjo too, because it had that twangy sort of sound. I liked the harpsichord because it had that twang sort of sound. So it's hard to sort of put it down to certain images. I think it was the drive to want to actually be almost perfect at something. It was a drive for perfection, yeah. So it was more so an emotion or an ambition in a worldly sense, but something that wasn't about being famous or popular or anything like that. It was just about becoming or trying to become a perfect musician, you know, for the love of the art. So, yeah.
Wow.
So it's more of a philosophical sort of thing that I went through at that age, and mm-hmm. I still sort of hold on to that too.
And that's driven you 27 years later to continue exploring meditation and music. I'd like to play for the listeners one of the songs off of your recent album. The song that we've chosen is Solaris. I want you to maybe tell the listeners a little bit about the song before we play it.
Okay, now, with that song, I was living and working in New Zealand at the time, because I'd lived and worked over there for 12 years. I moved there when I was 23 and came back to Australia when I was about 36. And I'd been in a city called Christchurch for about 6 months. I'd done one semester of a jazz course. It was a degree in jazz performance, and I dropped out. I was working in a music store selling musical instruments. So when I'd come home, being around all these musical instruments all day and not being able to sit down and just play them all day, it was just like, okay, go home and record. And that piece it took about 20 minutes to conceive. I just came up with the idea of it and then just improvised the solo in one take. And I wasn't thinking of scales or theory or anything like that. All I was trying to think of was I had this sort of visualization of being way out in outer space and wow, what it would be like to be floating there in, you know, a part of infinity with all of these celestial objects around. So that's why it's got the name Solaris.
Beautiful. But, so let's take a moment to listen to that song right now, okay? Everybody,
no
just
problem.
Tune in and listen to this beautiful song by Dan Harlan called Solaris. This is Sarah Mate, and my guest is Dan Harlan. You're over here listening to Talk with Sarah Mate on the Voice America Seventh Wave Network. Up next, we'll find out how meditation and improvisation are conduits to communing with the vibrational force in nature. See you in a minute.
When you learn to see things from a spiritual perspective, it changes the way you see virtually everything in your life. Listen for Dr. Paula Joyce and her program, Uplift Your Life, Nourishment of the Spirit. Our program will help you get rid of the negative aspects of your life and invite love, joy, and prosperity into your life. Turn that negative feeling into a positive one. Tune in to Uplift Your Life, Nourishment of the Spirit, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are listening to Talk with Sarah Mare. Call Sarah Mare now at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or Skype at Talk with Sarah Mare. Or email at talkwithsarahmare@gmail.com. Now back to this week's program.
Welcome back. This is Sarah Mare with my guest Dan Harlan. He's with us today from Australia, a fabulous musician and songwriter, speaking with us about the connection between improvisation, meditation, and creativity. Welcome back, Dan. How are you over there?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Sarah. How's yourself?
I wanted to talk a little bit about how meditation and improvisation are conduits to communing with the vibrational force in nature. I've been reading a lot about religions and pre-Christian religions and how they communed with life force and spirit through music. I mean, we see that when we look at Haitian dance and drumming. The Congolese have ritual dance and music dedicated to conjuring energy from their gods. The Indians have Kathak as their ritual and rhythm. Middle Eastern belly dance is a dance to enlighten the goddess life energy in both men and women. The Brazilian capoeira is an offshoot of ritual dance. Buddhist and Taoist chant and mantra. Muslim chant and ritual bow and groups at certain times of the day. And then we see in Christianity and Judaism this commune with vibration and the enlightenment of the mind and spirit through their rituals, psalms, hymns, chants, and singing in choir. We look into a Baptist church and you'll see people going into a hypnotic trance through their song. So this is a time and space where people don't necessarily need to know how to read music or carry a tune to be able to participate. It's through hearing song or the tune and chanting back, generally as a group. Following and joining into a group vibration creates that hypnotic experience in the brain and body, and that allows people to meditate together. The idea is that together they commune with a life force or God that makes them feel united and at one with one another. I mean, that's what I believe fundamentally religion and spiritual practice are meant to do, to bring people to their highest state of consciousness and help them learn to make decisions from that space rather than from fear and primitive thought and drive process. So Dan, as a person who dedicates much of your time and spirit to improvisation, how would you describe that your improvisation process is related to your meditation practice?
Well, it's a matter of identification for myself. This is the way I get into the zone. And it's a fairly simple thing. I just get the instrument, and if I want to have a serious, deep exploration of improvisation, I just think of all the things that I don't think I am. Like, I don't think that I'm ruled by my mind or my intellect. You know, I don't look at myself as permanently being the body. You know, I think the body's like a vehicle for a spiritual evolution. It's not the full identity of who you are, because it's impermanent. It's born. It will die eventually. So it's just like a vehicle. And I think, well, am I the emotions therefore? And then I think, well, no, I'm not the emotions either, because they're reactionary forces and feelings due to my attachment, my perspective, and the way I perceive life around me. So that's reactionary energy. So I'm not that either. So I think, then what am I? And I think, well, I'm the true self, or the soul, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of people, there's a lot of different names for it in different cultures. Like, I think in Devanagari Sanskrit, they call it the Atma, or the Jiva Atma. You know, yes. So I just sort of be conscious of that without thinking of it in terms of concepts. It sounds crazy, I know, but, and then I just play, and I just concentrate on the notes, and I play whatever pleases me. And if I make mistakes, I just sort of accept it and move on. And the more I do that, the less mistakes I seem to make, or things that I would term a mistake. And it just starts to sound nice. And I think, well, if it sounds nice to me, maybe it'll sound nice to somebody else. Because I'm my own worst critic, you know? Like, if I'm playing a little bit off, I give myself a hard time because I'm expecting to achieve perfection, you know? Mm-hmm. And I drive myself that way with it.
Did you start improvising before you were able to read music, or before you knew your skills proficiently? Or was it through the learning the technique that you were then able to have the freedom to improvise?
Improvisation was with me from the first day I picked up the bass guitar. I just started making up my own stuff. And I knew a little bit about music theory because I was doing music at school. And I would just do something and I'd try and analyze and go, okay, well, what scale was that before I could even work out what scales I was playing? It's been a progression as I learn a bit of scales, then I try, well, I might improvise with that scale in this idea and then, you know, use different ideas. Like you could explain it in theory as like polytonality, bitonality, different modulations and all that. That's the way I'd explain it now. But I was just freely improvising what you could call atonality, but there was tonality to it. So I wasn't thinking or confining myself to key signatures. I was just playing whatever my ear appreciated. And later on, I still do the same thing. I just improvise and then I define it later. Well,
Can you tell our listeners today, some of them, I'm sure, don't read music. What is atonality?
Atonality means the lack of key. Uh-huh. So it's like playing without a sense of what key you're in, what major scale, what mode. You sort of throw that all out the window and you just be free with the music, freely express yourself. Nice. In an improvisational sense. Some atonality in the orchestral sense definitely sounds like it's composed without a key because it doesn't sound all too pleasant sometimes. So, yeah.
Are there certain keys, as a musician and an improviser and a songwriter, are there certain keys that you tend toward more than others, personally?
I try not to, but because of the way the bass guitar's tuned, like there's an open B and an open E, the two lower strings on my six-string bass. So sometimes it's nice to start there and then just see where I end up, you know. So I might migrate across a few key signatures and, we'll just not think about it and just operate in different orders of tones and semitones. It's going to be a scale in somebody's book anyway, you know, and then just define it later. Yeah.
Nice. You, in an email that you sent to me before we started discussing the show, you had said, I improvise on the bass. It is like a devotional effort in knowing not only myself, but also the vast spirit of life that keeps everything in motion and stillness. Sometimes the best note you can play is the one you don't play. It sounds very zen, I know, but I'm referring to the silence in between the notes as they help to define the sounds we make. I thought that was absolutely beautiful and to me feels very poignantly true. Can you say a little bit about what you mean by the sounds between the notes?
Well, it's hard to describe, but I'll just, here we go. The rhythm that you set out to express yourself in a melodic way, you know, there are gaps, like you go, da 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 da, you know, like, it's almost like the instrument is taking a breath, you know, and within that gap, I mean, if you slow it down, it's a really long period of time. But if your concentration is right on there, right on that expression, then it's a nice reprieve to have that gap because you don't have to think about the next move so much. You're just existing within that little bit of silence. And the silence is, it's like the yin and the yang, you know, you have the form and the formless. You have the constant motion of form in song. And then when you have that gap in your solo or your expression, it's like it defines the other stuff. Because if it was all just continuous sound, like, you know, changing pitch all over the place, but a continuous sound, it has a certain effect. Sounds like a bumblebee or something, I don't know. But but with those gaps, those silences, it just makes it a little bit more interesting in a a performance sense. But maybe in a consciousness sense, if you're really zoned in on it, then there's that little bit of nothingness there, which is really something.
Well, I think that the two are intertwined, right? The performance is what is affecting the consciousness, and that's why it's interesting. There's something about the unknown, the space that's not been described or assigned yet, that somehow throws us off kilter, but yet allows us to go a little bit more deeply into ourselves, whether we're aware of it or not. So as a musician, you can really give people that experience.
It's kind of like I see some musicians or hear some musicians, and they're very, very much married to being the fastest player in the world with all the technique, and that's fantastic, but they don't leave any gaps. It's just it's fantastic, great technical exercise, great technical ability, but I'm looking for artistry.
Yes.
You know, and artistry takes breaths.
Yes.
You know, it's the greatest paintings are sometimes the most simple, or they might have a really complicated part in the corner, which may have taken that painter 3 months to do that complicated part. But then the clouds are really wispy, and it probably took him about 5 minutes.
Yes.
You know, so it's a balance.
Yes.
You can have some fast melodic patterns, but when you leave a nice gap for maybe four beats and you say nothing for that bar, then when you do say something, it's like having a conversation, you know, that yin and yang thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Good. So I'd like to play for our listeners today one of your improvisational pieces. Let's see, what's the one that you chose to play today? It's inspired by Miles Davis.
Oh, it is actually Miles Davis chords for his song Blue and Green, which is on the biggest selling jazz album of all time, A Kind of Blue. So I took those chords and I looped them, and then I just improvised a solo over them without doing any of the trumpet part, of course. I just did my bass interpretation of, you know, this is Miles Davis's Blue and Green cover sort of thing.
Beautiful. So how did you use Miles Davis's chord progression and then play over it? How did that work? Did you create the instrumentation underneath what you're playing?
Yeah, I just played it on my six-string bass and looped it on the six-string bass using a pedal. Yeah, and then I just soloed over the top of it.
Beautiful. So let's give the listeners an opportunity to hear this song, Blue and Green, with Dan Harlan's melodic improvisational bass playing over the chords to Miles Davis. And then we're going to go straight into a very short commercial break. And after the break, we will return, and I'll be continuing discussing consciousness, meditation, with Dan Harlan, and we will embark on a simple guided meditation to help all of us open up our creative and spontaneous sense of self into creativity. So here we go. We're going to listen to Blue and Green by Dan Harlan and then take a short commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please. Thank you.
Are you finding your frequency? It can be described as that space between failure and success. It's the future of digital media. It's finding your voice. It's engaging topics, content, and ideas. Jeff and Ryan discuss the digital media space and all of its aspects. It's about making the mistakes, taking the chances, summoning the intestinal fortitude to step out of your comfort zone, and discovering what you can accomplish when you decide to try, decide to learn, decide that you have something to say, and find your frequency. Live Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
You are listening to Talk with Sarah Mare. Call Sarah Mare now at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or Skype at Talk with Sarah Mare. Or email at talkwithsarahmare@gmail.com. Now back to this week's program.
Welcome back. This is Sarah Mare on Talk with Sarah Mare on VoiceAmerica.com, Seventh Wave Network. Super happy to be with you today. I'm here live in New York City, and we air every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard for Pacific. I hope you tune in every week. We have a variety of different guests talking about their creative processes and how emotion relates to their inner life and then the creative expression out there. So take a look at my voiceamerica.com host page to see who the guests are, and I hope you tune in every week. If you want to reach me, you can email me at talkwithsarahmare@gmail.com. If you'd like to be featured on the show or you have any questions, please do reach out. Today we are speaking with Dan Harlan. He's an amazing improviser, songwriter, bass player, meditator, and person over there in Australia right now experiencing the hot summer heat wave. And he's here to talk to us about his music and his meditation practice. Dan, how are you over there?
Great, thanks, Sarah.
Beautiful. We've played two of your songs here so far this hour, which are absolutely beautiful and both quite different. I'd love for you to share with the listeners where they can find your work, what albums you've already recorded, where they are on the internet, and what you have on the horizon.
Okay. I think the first track, Solaris, was on Adventures in Imagination, which is by my project name, Esoteric Sound Formula, which is available on iTunes and CD Baby, and about 8 other digital download sites, but I can't remember the names of them.
It's, so,
you know,
many.
You just get lost in this stuff. Being an independent, I've got a few other projects. What was that, sorry?
You record under the name Esoteric Sound Formula, is that correct?
Just for that one project. Okay. I've got another 3 projects going on, and they will be under different names. 2 are with bands. Mm-hmm. One's going to be a jazz band, so it might be under my name and the drummer's name. He's a very dear friend of mine. We've known each other for 25 years. And the other one will be under a producer and session guitarist friend's name, or we might have a shared name, a band name. And they're both going to be 2 very different projects. With the drummer friend of mine, it's a jazz project. And I think we're drawing influence from 1960s style jazz. And the other project with the guitarist and producer friend of mine, that's going to be more sort of fusion, like funk fused with jazz, fused with Latin, fused with a bit of world music, but a real monster album of technical chops and overplaying, probably.
So the album that you have available for listeners, if they want to look you up right now, that one's called Adventures in Imagination?
Yeah, and that's the Esoteric Sound Formula.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's the project name. But yeah, that's been available since 2014, so yeah,
great.
It'd be great if it sold some more, you know.
Great. You know, I had a chance to listen to the album. It's beautiful. And also the album artwork is really interesting to me. It's a sort of a profile of it looks like a woman's, or it's a human head and body. It's just a really beautiful sculpture. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and why you chose that for the album cover?
I was in a store and I just bought my Korg Kronos keyboard that I recorded half of that album with. And I saw this statue. It was this African woman. I think she's a Maasai tribeswoman. And I just went, what an amazing statue. I love that. So I bought it, took it home and sat the statue on the studio monitor, which is the speaker that I'm recording through, listening back to my recordings. And she was there for the recording of, like, yeah, half of that album, 3/4 of that album. And so when it came time to choose album artwork, I just looked at the statue and thought, you've been watching me the whole time. You're the album cover. So I just turned the camera on to Sepia and took a photo of her head. Yeah, because he's actually a very tall statue. The whole body's, visible when I'm looking. I've still got the statue too. I was just looking at it before, and so I just thought she's great. You know, I want her to be my album cover.
Yeah. So anybody out there listening, if you have a chance to look up Esoteric Sound Formula and the Adventures in Imagination, you'll be able to see this beautiful statue as his album cover and listen to more tracks like the first one we played called Solarists. Very relaxing and inspiring music. Dan, I wanted to ask you about some of the music that you've written directly for meditation. One of the songs that I wanted to play today while we embark on our guided meditation in a few minutes is your song called Contemplation. And I wanted to ask you, you know, about your meditation practice and about the songs that you write primarily for meditation practice.
I try and keep them simple. Now, my album Adventures in Imagination, there's only one really good meditation piece on it, and that's probably the last one off that album. That's the one that you're going to play. I thought with the album being so busy, taking you through Adventures in Imagination, you know, it'd be nice to have a contemplation piece at the end so you can just put all those thoughts behind you. That's kind of like my thoughts behind that is also associated with life. You know, we have a busy daytime life. You know, we're out there working or socialising. And then when we come home, we've got to put the world behind us and just focus on realising who we are and relaxing with who we are. And so for some people, they prefer to meditate in complete silence. Other people find it difficult to navigate with the silence through their own mind. So they use meditation as a meditation music as a backdrop to sort of comfort themselves and help themselves relax. It's a good way to shut out the sounds of the world around you by focusing on the sound of the music that relaxes you. So I just experiment with myself. I compose a piece of music and record something simple, or perhaps with a few different, maybe mystical science fiction sort of sounds on occasion, and just see what it does to my consciousness. I try it out. Does this help me relax, or does this make me think too much? Because sometimes it's good to think things through if you have a lot of thoughts on your mind. Sometimes music can be a good backdrop for that. Other time you want to still your mind and want to focus on just being, you know?
Yes.
We are human beings, not human doings. Right?
That is correct. Are there any words of wisdom or things that you've come to understand that you'd like to share with the listeners about consciousness or meditation today before we embark on our guided meditation?
I think what I've discovered from my meditation is you can go so deep and you can discover so much about yourself and your mind. And by meditating, you can get a greater control over your mind, because the mind in society today is very, very busy, very, very stressful for most people. And people use many different things to try and escape that, either narcotics or alcohol or all manner of different activities. You know, sometimes it works for them, you know. And I think if you can get into something as a form of meditation, because I think meditation is a 24-hour-a-day experience. It's about focusing your concentration on something that's worthwhile or very relaxing, you know, something that's not only good for you but potentially good for others too. And if you can do that, then you're helping yourself, and it can have a ripple effect upon the people around you as well.
Beautiful.
And so it can be good for everybody.
Absolutely. So that's what we're going to close our show with today. Thank you so much, Dan Harlan, for being with us on Talk with Sarah Made. I hope that you stay online while we play your song, Contemplation, and begin a guided 5-minute meditation before we move on out for the close of the show. Again, everybody out there, I hope that you join us for this meditation today, and I hope that you join us next week as we continue on. So here's Dan Harlan, Contemplation. And let's all just begin to become aware of our breath in our body. Take a few deep breaths in. Feel your diaphragm muscle just below your rib cage and into your heart vibration beginning to open as you expand with breath. You can let it be very simple. Let the universe breathe you. Just open yourself to breath entering your body, feeling the expansion of your diaphragm. And then as you exhale, feel the warmth of your breath moving through your heart, your throat, your nostrils. And I'd like to focus on a very simple meditation today, something that we discussed earlier in the show with Dan about silence and the space between the notes in the songs. Something we were just talking about is the amount of thought that we have going on in all of us throughout the day. We have a lot of busy thought, and generally that takes place in the front part of your brain, the cerebral cortex, where we're tasking and thinking about tomorrow and yesterday and what we have to do and kind of just organizing. And in the back of our mind, we have memory, fantasy, dreams. And within all of that, there's space, there's quiet. What we'd like to do is just start to tune in to the space between the thoughts in our minds. Allow your breath to expand the space in your body. The heat of your breath to allow your body to relax as it moves through and out into the world. Allowing your breath to move in, open, expand, and to move out through your heart and into the world. And as you continue on this very gentle, slow, hypnotic groove of breath, begin to just continue to tune in to the space in your body, the space between the thoughts in your mind, the space between the notes in the music playing now. And thank the universe for making you exactly as you are. Let your imagination, let your spiritual, let your emotional, let your physical, let them just relax. And just find space and quiet, the flow of breath and life force in your body as your heart continues beating. And continue to thank the universe for making you exactly as you are, beautiful, loving nature. I'd like to thank you all for being here with me today. I hope that you join me next week on Talk with Sarah Mate. We air every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. I'd like to just leave you in this space of breath and aliveness, listening to this beautiful music by Dan Harlan, finding the space between the thoughts in your mind, finding the space and the expansion of breath in your body, and allowing yourself to listen to the truth in your heart so that you can continue on with that ripple effect, creating that same inspiration in everybody that you meet. All right, have a beautiful week, and I'll see you next time on Talk with Sarah Mate.
Thank you for tuning in to Talk with Sarah Mare. We can't wait to hear more from you and share more with you on next week's program. Please be here next Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Have an enlightening week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.